Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel once again. So I'm going to tell you how the Ukrainian war is going to end. And no, I don't have my crystal ball. My prognostications are based on just studying the evidence. So here we go. As being a world historical tipster, obviously this is educated guesswork. Perhaps it's a fool's errand to forecast the outcome of this conflict, which has been going on for nigh on 2 years. Don't forget that it kicked off in earnest on the 24th of February, 2022. Now, in a sense, the Russo-Ukrainian war has been going since the spring of 2014, when Russia invaded and seized the Crimean Peninsula and began its invasion of Luhansk and Donetsk, those two Ukrainian regions which are adjacent to Russia in the east of Ukraine. But that had died down by early 1922. There was actually very little fighting, occasional sniping, very low fatalities. There seemed to be this tacit agreement to de-escalate until obviously Russia hugely escalated by launching the first full-scale ground invasion in Europe in almost 70 years. Anyway, we can see that the fighting spirit is petering out somewhat on both sides. Yeah, looks like a mobilization coming in Russia, but you know they can't replace hardware as fast a rate as it's being destroyed. They husbanded their drones and missiles for about 50 days before launching several large salvos against Kyiv about a week ago, the largest such salvo of the war. But you know that the effect of that's been really blunted by improved Ukrainian air defense. They've got Patriot systems and so on. But the political will in Western countries to continue to arm and fund Ukraine is ebbing away. We see, Robert Fico, this new prime minister of Slovakia, and he said not one more bullet. And Orban Viktor, the prime minister of Hungary, he's got that attitude, and he's perhaps the coziest with Putin of any leader of any European Union member state. Moreover, in the United States, the right wing of the Republicans and the left of the Democrats, they're very much dovish. They want to sell Ukraine down the swanny. The moderates of both parties want to continue to arm Ukraine. But obviously, there are waverers. And support for funding and arming Ukraine is leeching away in the United States. And the Republicans might start to see that as a vote-winning prospect. And obviously, there are people like Trump and Vivek Ramaswamy and Ron DeSantis who've all made noises about cutting the Ukrainians dead. Trump said he'd end the war the first day. And I think what he'd do is say, okay, Vladimir Putin, you can take that much of Ukraine so long as you stop. Putin say, okay, then the United States would cut off all military aid. Putin wait till he thinks he's ready and then try and take the rest. How long would it be? Weeks? Months, years, I don't know. But obviously, one thing you can guarantee with Putin is he will renege on the deal. He will betray you. He will stab you in the back. He always, always does. And if you don't believe me, ask his bosom buddy, Yevgeny Prigozhin. Oh, no, but you can't because he's dead. You know, just 2 months after that agreement, about a month after he was an honored guest at that St. Petersburg Africa Forum. And that's why the Ukrainians are finding it increasingly difficult to fight Russia. They can never outnumber Russia or even reach parity in terms of numbers. They're outnumbered by Russia 3.5 to 1. Remember, Russia is recruiting people who even from Nepal have been killed in this war, and indeed guest workers from Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan. Some of them have joined willingly or unwillingly the Russian army, of students from Zambia and so on, being convinced to join for these big golden hellos and so on. Whereas Ukraine, okay, they've got a few volunteers for the International Legion for the Territorial Defense of Ukraine, but they don't have that many foreign fighters. Now, the only way that the Ukrainians could reach equality with the Russians is in terms of armaments, by having next generation weapons, superior weapons. And, you know, Western countries, they have been quite stingy about this. And there are some F-16s, the Ukrainian counter-offensive. It was an almost total failure. Yes, they went forward about 16 kilometers at the deepest point of penetration. That's about a tenth of the distance they needed to go to reach the Sea of Azov and to break that land bridge. Crimea is not seriously threatened. Okay, so we've come to this winter stasis for Russia to dig more trenches. The Ukrainians are doing the same to try and forefend some Russian advance there, or Russia attacking from the east, from the north. Remember, you know, in one corner of Ukraine, Russia's directly to the north as well as to the east, or indeed through Belarus. The fighting will begin again on a fairly large scale towards the end of spring 2024. But as I say, what will the November 2024 election bring in the United States? Probably Biden re-elected. The Democrats probably retain the Senate, possibly gain the House. not with a huge majority. There's obviously a significant chance that Trump will get the presidency back, about a 30% chance, or another Republican. And if a Republican comes into office, almost certainly that's bad news for Ukraine. At very least, military aid will be reduced, if not cut off altogether. Neither side can make a decisive breakthrough. So we're already reaching stalemate. So it's almost deadlock. So they can just bombard each other. So that, in a sense, that's a failure for Russia. What was Russia's objective? To demilitarize Ukraine. They have failed. Ukraine's more militarized than ever. The Putin's regime said it wanted to denazify Ukraine. Obviously, that's the central lie of the war, because there is no Nazi regime in Kiev. There's one in Moscow. But anyway, regime change in Ukraine is not going to happen by Russia taking over or imposing a marionette. Now Zelensky, he might lose the forthcoming election, meant to be next March, is it, or is it May? So he's saying, well, maybe we can delay the election because of the war. But Vitaly Klitschko, the mayor of Kiev, has castigated him for his injudicious decisions. But I think that Ukraine should hold the election, however difficult, if they have to stagger over a few days, because that will prove the point that it's a free country and Russia is not. And if Zelensky wins, that might even be a good thing, because it would underscore yet again that Ukraine is a free country where even in wartime, people have the right to change their president. Whereas in Russia, people are never, ever allowed to choose their leaders. And there is no accountability, because we know their election is an absolute farce, is a complete charade, is stage managed from first to last, with real opposition jailed or indeed murdered, with votes rigged on a massive scale and so forth. But anyway, there's not much fighting spirit in Western countries, and Russia doesn't even have to threaten that much. But Ukraine losing is dangerous. I think his name is Sovolyov, one of the main Putin cheerleaders in the Russian media, saying that, you know, Russia, the European borders are going to be changed by Russia, that, you know, Russia should nuke Berlin and stuff like that. So remember, Russia's a country we can say almost nothing. When there is no free speech, where all sorts of things are criminalized, which holds political prisoners by the thousands, which holds prisoners of conscience. So this clearly got some sort of tacit permission to be making these blood-curdling statements, to be threatening to, you know, kill millions of civilians through a nuclear war. But Russia doesn't even have to do it very often, doesn't really have to scare European countries who are simply fed up paying the price, especially during economically straitened times. So what's going to happen is, as military aid is reduced to Ukraine, Russia might even be smart enough to ease off a bit, saying, well, we're not going to be that threatening to you, make a deal. And there are noises in Ukraine increasingly that people are dissenting from this victory at all costs, saying, can we really afford to go on paying this sort of price for this sort of gain, you know, to lose 1,000 soldiers to go forward 1 kilometer, or even to maintain the front and not get pushed back? There are serious casualties. Is it worth it? Could there be a better way? Could we accept some liminality about Eastern Ukraine? Could it be an independent country or have a greater degree of autonomy? Could United Nations soldiers be there? So I think what they'll do is they'll have sort of some Devo plus for some of these Russian-occupied regions. Russia will agree to withdraw its army. They'll suppose to be local militias. They'll actually be Russian army, scarcely disguised, a bit like what we had in the so-called Donetsk People's Republic and the Lugansk People's Republic as part of Minsk I and Minsk II, something similar with Crimea. But the main thing is Ukraine will agree not to join the European, not to join the NATO, but the concession will be, will be allowed to join the European Union, but from Russia's point of view. But on the other hand, is Ukraine actually going to get to do so? And if so, will that be anytime soon? It's not going to be for at least a decade. Slovakia and Hungary are sworn to veto it. So even if Ukraine gets to join, it won't be for at least several years. And there'll be all sorts of other problems. So, I mean, both sides can try and present that as success. And it'll be some sort of untidy compromise like that. That's what's going to end the war. But as I say, I think it's not going to happen for a year and a half, possibly more. It somewhat reminds me of Crimea. Now, the Russian army, either officially or unofficially, is probably going to remain in Crimea and in some of eastern Ukraine for a very long time. I just don't see how it can be dislodged, because Western countries are patently unwilling to provide enough modern kit in sufficient numbers. They're just not donating the assets that Ukraine needs to make a decisive difference on the battlefield. Thanks so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.